Today's shir is Masechta Yevamos Daf Kuf Yud Zayin. We will begin on Daf Kuf Tes Zayin Amud Beis at the bottom of the Amud. As we've been discussing, the halacha is that if a woman comes and says that her husband passed away, under certain circumstances, she is believed that that indeed happened and she may get remarried. The question is, when we believe her, to what extent and to what area do we believe her? B'shamayim Tinasei, that if a woman said that her husband died, and it's the circumstances under which we believe her when she says so, the halacha is tinasei, she's allowed to get remarried, and she also, v'titel ksubasa, she's entitled to collect the ksuba. Beis Hillel's opinion is tinasei, she's indeed to get allowed to get remarried, however, lo titel ksubasa, she's not entitled to get a ksuba. Amalam Beis Shammai, so Beis Shammai says, I don't understand how you could say this. Hitartem erev chamura. If the iser eishes ish, which is a more serious iser, you're relying on her testimony, lainata mamon akal, certainly we should accept her testimony regarding the ksuba, which is only a financial issue. Says the Gemara, says the Mishnah, amalhem Beis Hillel. So Beis Hillel says to Beis Shammai in response, Matsinu, there is a precedent for this, that even though we believe somebody regarding a more serious Isser of Erva, we don't believe them regarding money. Now, halacha is that if a woman comes and says that her husband died without any children, the halacha is that even though for Hilchas Erva, we don't say we trust her and she becomes a candidate for Yibam and Chalitza, so, but we don't let the brother, who we know the halacha is, that the brother who does the Yibam takes over the entire estate of the brother whose wife he did Yibam with, that he doesn't get. So we see that you could have limited nemonis, even though it's only nemonis for Issa Erva and not for Dine Momonis. Amal Beis Shammai, says Beis Shammai, why don't we learn from what it says in the ksuba? It says in the ksuba that if you will get married to someone else, titli you will be entitled to what it says. So we see that these two halachas travel together. And if she's allowed to get remarried, she's also entitled to a ksuba. It says the Mishnah, the Chazar Beis Hillel Haris Kedivrei Beis Shammai, and Beis Hillel actually agreed with Beis Shammai that the two travel together. So Rashi says, the reason why Beis Hillel said, Eina achem nechnosim l'nach lapia, because the Pasuk says, Apishnei edem yokum dava, and even though we're learning throughout this perek and throughout this Masechta, that a woman is believed as to say her husband died, that's for a special halacha regarding Mishimiguna Akila Rabbanon. But that's specifically because Mishimiguna Akila Rabbanon, not regarding anything else. So the Mishnah said, Amalei Beis Shammai, Beis Shammai said to Beis Hillel, why don't we learn from the actual wording of the ksuba that her right to get remarried and collect the ksuba that travels together. But there's a machlokes hapoiskim, and the Mishnah says that Beis Hillel ultimately indeed agreed with Beis Shammai. But there is a machlokes hapoiskim, to what degree did Beis Hillel agree regarding which halachas is this the halacha that she's entitled to the ksuba based on this testimony. Some say that she's only, the Beis Shmuel and the Chelkas Mechaikik say that she's only allowed to say testimony regarding the ksuba. But she can't say testimony, her testimony is not accepted to any Tosfos ksuba that she is entitled to. The Mabit says that she's entitled to the Tosfos ksuba. He actually says that that's the opinion of the Rambam. The Ritva says that not only is she not entitled to the Tosfos ksuba, but the Ritva says she's also not entitled to the Nichsei Tzoyim Barzal that she brings into the marriage. She doesn't get back the Nichsei Tzoyim Barzal under these circumstances. Tosfos assumes that just like a wife is not believed regarding the Ksuba, at least according to the beginning of the Mishnah, regarding the Yerusha. So too, when an Eid Echad says that a husband died, and even though we're learning that an Eid Echad, we've learned many times in our Perek, that Eid Echad is Neman, that he's not Neman regarding Dine Mamnes. It's a special Din the Rabbanon, says Taisus, that an Eid Echad is Neman as far as accepting that the husband is no longer alive, that she's no longer an Eishes Ish, but not regarding any other halacha. However, the Tashbatz disagrees. The Tashbatz uses a svara that the Gemara used a number of times in our previous shir. And that is, in our previous shir, the Gemara on more than one occasion said that we believe in Eid Echad because of Milsa Vida Legluya. And since it's a Milsa Legluya, that's why we have much greater confidence in his testimony. And therefore the Tashbatz holds, and he says that that's the opinion of the Rambam as well, that when we believe in Eid Echad, we believe him not only to let her to allow her to get remarried, but we also believe the Eid Echad in order that she should be able to collect the Ksuba and Yerusha, etc. Amrav Chizda, Nisyabma, if woman becomes, has Yibum, because she said Mei Spali, and based on that testimony, she has Yibum with her brother-in-law, Yivama Nichnasa L'Nachla Pia. As we said when we learned in the Mishnah, the Yavam, who does Yibum, becomes the Yairish, gets the entire estate of his brother who passed away. And therefore, even in this case, where the Yibum was done based on her testimony, he gets the entire estate. Haim Darish Midrash Ksuba, because if, based on the words of the Ksuba, says Rav Chizda, we allow him to allow the Yarshim to take the Yerusha. Since we follow what it says in the Torah, because the Torah says, Yakum Hashem Achiv Amrachmana, that the brother who does Yibum takes over the entire estate of the brothers, of that brother, very come. And he has done what he was supposed to do, and that's why he's entitled to get, that's why he's entitled to get the entire estate. Aram Nachman, Basla Bezdin. So now the Gemara goes in to discuss under what circumstances is she entitled to the Yerusha, under which circumstance not. Says the Gemara, Amar Avnachem Basel Bezdin, if she came to Bezdin, Vamran, she says, Meis Balu, my husband died, Hituruni Linose, and based on that testimony, she's requesting that they should allow her to get remarried. Matirinose Linose, we allow her to get remarried based on this testimony. And not only do we not allow her to get remarried, but Nice and Luxubasa, she gets her Ksuba as well. Tanuli Ksubasa, but if she comes to Bezdin, she says that she's entitled to the Ksuba, then Afli Nase Ematirnasai, we wouldn't even rely on her testimony to get remarried. My Tama, because it's obvious from the statement that she made that data the Ksuba Asai, that she came to take Ksuba, and as Rashi says, that in order to be able to collect the Ksuba, she needs to have two Edom. And as the Ritva explains, Chazal gave a special ability that we believe a woman to say that her husband died, because as we said a minute ago, Mishumi Guna Kilo Barabonin. But when her intention of saying the testimony is to prevent herself from being an Aguna, so then we believe her regarding everything else. But if her testimony is primarily for Dine Mamnes, we don't trust her. We don't trust her, and we don't give her the Ksuba. So now ask the Gemara Bailu, if she said Hitiruni Lanasi, she makes a double request. Hitiruni Lanasi, allow me to get remarried, and she also says Vatanuli Ksubasi, and also she get my Ksuba. Ma, how do we look at this statement of hers? Do we say Kivendam Ksuba? So since she spoke about Ksuba, it's obvious that adat the Ksuba Asoi, she's coming to request a Ksuba. And as we just said, if she's coming to request a Ksuba, we won't grant it to her. Adilma, come this Alinish, and anybody, anything that a person has to say in testimony, Amlula Beidina. So even though her main goal is just to be able to get remarried, she said everything because she just knows that that may be helpful to be able to get remarried. And Intim Tzalam, come this Alinish, Amlula Beidina. That everything a person has to say, they say to Bezdin. And therefore, even though she mentioned the Ksuba, it doesn't detract that her main purpose was to be able to get remarried. And for that, we believe her. What would be the halacha, asked the Gemara, if she said it in the reversed order, where she said tenuli ksubasi, she first asked for the ksuba, and then vitrinuli nasi. And she also asked for the right to get remarried. Mahu, what would be the halacha then? Do we say hachavadi the ksuba asi? It's certainly that she came for the purpose of getting remarried, for getting the ksuba, because that's what she mentioned first. Adama, or maybe, as the Gemara just expressed, she's saying everything she has to say. And she doesn't pay attention to what she says first or what she says second. Adama, perhaps, hold the layod of my mystery. She doesn't know what is going to be the winning claim with which she will be able to get remarried. So she says everything that she could say. And since she says everything that she could say, we believe her on everything. So, as Rashi explains, since as soon as she mentions Nisuin, it's obvious that her main goal here is to be able to get remarried, doesn't make a difference what she says first or what she says second. Says the Gemara, Hakol Nemen Alayda, as we've been learning, Chazal were particularly lenient in accepting the testimony of many people to say that a woman's husband died. But there's certain people who we, as we're going to learn, we can't, the Chazal said we don't trust. The first is Chamasa, because says a mother-in-law has a problem with a daughter-in-law. Because we know that according to Torah law, the son gets the entire Yerusha. Since the son gets the entire Yerusha, the mother-in-law thinks that I worked my life, whole life, to amass whatever I amassed. And now this woman, because she's married to my son, is going to get everything I worked for. And that causes a dislike between them. Tsarasa, the same thing is that a co-wife doesn't have a good relationship because they have to share the husband. Yavimta, the sister-in-law who knows that maybe her husband will die and he'll do yibum with this woman and therefore they're going to become tsaris, that's already enough to cause an animosity. Baspala, if her husband had a daughter from a different woman before he married this woman, so she doesn't like her stepmother because she says to herself, my father and mother worked together on establishing whatever they established, and now this woman will take everything that my mother worked for. And because of these reasons, Chazal said that they don't like them, and because they don't like them, they will do something to hurt them. Says the Chasam Sofer, perhaps we could say that halacha only applied in the time of Chazal. But Bizman Azeh, we don't see this dislike between these people. And maybe this halacha, that they should not be trusted, falls away. Says the Chasam Sofer, if anything, as we discussed actually in our previous year, the way people relate to each other has deteriorated. So if in the time of Chazal established that there's discord and there's dislike between these people, certainly it applies Bizman Azeh. And the Chasam Sofer takes this point a step further. He says, we aren't to understand what our Mishnah says that's because they hate. The word hate is a very strong word, and it isn't necessarily the accurate word to use. Rather, says the Chasam Sofer, the issue is negiya. There's something that bothers me because I have something in this. And therefore, because there's a negiya, that's why Chazal said that they can't say testimony, even if we see that they get along and they're very fine people. And the Chazon Ish says a step further. The Chazon Ish says, so there are other people that don't like. Why did Chazal limit to these five people? So the Chazon Ish says, because these five people, Chazal said, this concern of acrimony between these people always exists. By other people, sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. In fact, the Pnei Yeshua says that we, question is, could somebody who has negiyah, somebody has something involved by saying this testimony, that we've been learning this Masecht about somebody saying testimony regarding a husband's death, could somebody be trusted if he's a negiyah bedover? So the Pnei Yeshua says, of course he could be trusted. Because if the wife who has the most to gain or to lose is trusted, certainly everybody else should be trusted. The Noida Behuda says that as well, that the concern that we have many times in Chazal about in Halacha about Edom who are Negeya, Edom who are partial, being disqualified, doesn't apply in this case as well. The Mishnah Melech discusses if a woman could say testimony that there were children, because based on this testimony, she wouldn't fall to Yibam. Says the Mishnah Melech that in any case where somebody will have something to gain or lose, all the women that were mentioned in the Mishnah will something gain to lose if there are or aren't children, they will not be believed under those circumstances. Because the concern that they, just like the Mishnah says, we don't believe them for saying that the husband is dead, we can't believe them for this as well. The Agudas Ezev, who is the father of the Avni Nezer, says that it's very interesting. Our Mishnah pointed out the five women who are disqualified to say Edus. Discusses the Agudas Ezev, and what would be the halacha of a soina? What will be the halacha if somebody is an enemy of the husband, the enemy of the wife, and he's the one that comes and says testimony that the husband died? Will we accept his testimony, or will we not accept his testimony? So the Agudas Ezev says a beautiful svara why we should accept the testimony. He says, very often in our shiurim, in the Gemara, we've learned that why is the woman believed? Why is the Eid Echa believed? Because coupled with him saying what he's saying, Isha Daika Mitzvah. The woman doesn't just get remarried based on his testimony. The woman is going to independently investigate if truly her husband died. If anything, he says, if it's the enemy who came and said that the husband died, that will only cause that she should be even more careful to properly research if her husband truly died. And therefore, we're going to believe there's no reason to disqualify the enemy from saying testimony. What about a father-in-law? Can a father-in-law say testimony that regarding his son-in-law, that to say testimony that he died? The Shaul Shiavitz says that he brings a raya that a father-in-law has animosity towards his daughter-in-law. The Gemara Masechta Erevin Daf Chaf Aleph teaches us that if one wants to be able to carry in a chatzar, where a number of homes open to one courtyard, of course we have to know, everybody has to contribute to the Ruvah Chatzeris. Says the Gemara, that if somebody's not going to be home for Shabbos, he doesn't have to contribute to the Erev Chatzeris. Rav differentiates between somebody who's going to his married son for Shabbos and somebody who's going to his married daughter. He says that when somebody goes to his married son, we know he's not going to be home for Shabbos. When somebody goes to his married daughter, we know he's going away for Shabbos, he's not coming home. However, says Rav in that Gemara, when somebody goes to visit his son and daughter-in-law, there is a real concern that he may get into a dispute with his daughter-in-law over Shabbos and come back home. And now if he's home for Shabbos and he didn't contribute to the Revi Chatzeris, we're going to have a problem how the people in this Chatzar could carry. Says the Shaul Shiavitz, based on this, that we see that there's an animosity. Chazal were concerned that the father-in-law is not going to get along with the daughter-in-law over Shabbos. So presumably, says the Shaul Shiavitz, we see that there's a discord, that there's a problem between a father-in-law and a daughter-in-law. The Marit, however, quotes the Shilta Gebairim, who disagrees with the Yavitz, and says that there's no reason to assume that a father-in-law hates his daughter-in-law. Because the concern by a mother-in-law is, as we just learned in the Gemara, that the mother-in-law is upset that the son, and by extension his wife, are going to get the entire Yerusha. A father is not upset that his son, and by extension his daughter-in-law, are going to get his Yerusha. A father is happy to see his son get his whole Yerusha. What are we going to do with the Gemara Masechta Erevin? Explains the Marit It's not that there's necessarily an animosity. Over Shabbos, things could come up between the father-in-law and the daughter-in-law. And she won't easily get appeased. And the father-in-law will realize that there's no other option but to go home. When he visits his daughter, even if he gets into a quarrel with his son-in-law, it's not so difficult, again, this is what the Marit explains, it's not that difficult for the father-in-law and the son-in-law to make up. And just because they got into a dispute doesn't mean he's going to be unhappy and he's going to leave on Shabbos. So there's nothing to do with liking somebody or not liking somebody. It's just a practical consideration. Will he end up on Shabbos? Will he end up back on Shabbos at home? Will he not back end up Shabbos back at home? But it doesn't mean that there's any animosity. And since there's no animosity, that's why we can let him go home. Based on this, the Gemara says, the Chashukei Chemed, our Gemara just said that there's an animosity between a mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law. And he says that in situations, of course, every situation has to be reviewed independently. And the question is, in situations where people, where mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law are living in the same home, if it could be avoided, says the Chashukei Chemed, based on this Mishnah, it ought to be invited. It should be avoided. Ma ben get lemisa. Why by a get, the halacha is, as we know the Mishnah says, the first Mishnah, Masech the Gittin, that somebody, I maybe get the Medina Siyam, that somebody brings a get from overseas, tzarech shiyomer, he has to report, befanin nechtam, befanin nechtam. And the halacha is, even the women who are identified in this Mishnah as women who have a dislike to the woman, could say befanin nechtam, befanin nechtam. And why? By saying testimony that the husband died, how we just learned in our Mishnah that they're not trusted. We don't accept the testimony. Answer the Mishnah, Haksab Mechiach. Here in our Mishnah, we have the piece of, in the baguette, we have a piece of paper. So it's a much stronger situation and to be able to believe these women. Ask the Gemara, Be'aloi, Bas Chima, we have a woman who's the daughter of her father-in-law, but not the daughter of her mother-in-law. That means her father-in-law had a daughter with a different woman. Mahu. Can she be trusted to say testimony? Our Mishnah said that the daughter of a mother-in-law is not believed. What is the daughter of a father-in-law? And the Gemara explains the question. Tamid the Bas Chamaisa, why do we say the daughter of a mother-in-law is not accepted? Mishum de Iki Ima de Sanyula. Because since we just finished explaining that the mother-in-law doesn't like the daughter-in-law, so that dislike extends to her daughter as well. Mishum the Ike Ima de Sanyula, since her mother dislikes her, she also dislikes her. Hachop, but when we speak about the daughter of a father-in-law, like Ima de Sanyula, she doesn't have a mother that dislikes this woman, her mother is not this woman's mother-in-law. What's the reason that a daughter of a mother-in-law does not like her sister-in-law? Because she says, the reason she doesn't like this woman is because since this woman's husband is going to Yarshin, the father, I'm upset about that. So if that's the case, the daughter of a father-in-law, even though she's not the daughter of the mother-in-law, but she still has the same dislike because Kamra Ochla Gersun de Benishai. She says she's going to get my father's entire Yerusha. And since she's going to get my father's entire Yerusha, that's why I don't like her. Says the Gemara, Toshma. Hakol Namidon Lehida. We just learned that everybody could say testimony. Our Mishnah said that everybody could say testimony besides the five women that were identified in our Mishnah. Says the Gemara Vim Isa, if Bas Chamel is also not to be, a testimony is not accepted, so then Shishavian, there are six. Why does our Mishnah say there are only five? Says the Gemara, Dima de Bas Chamaisa, when we speak of the daughter of the daughter-in-law, Dharma Ka'achnal Gersa de Benishoi, because she's upset that this woman will ultimately get the entire Yerusha. If that's the that's the concern. So then there's no reason to differentiate between Bas Chamoisev Loishna Bas Chamiya. In other words, what the Gemara is saying is that the reason why Bas Chamoisev doesn't like her is the same reason why a Bas Chamiya shouldn't like her. And once the Mishnah said Bas Chamoisa, Bas Chamiya is automatically included. It's not a new category. Ask the Gemara. Our Mishnah said that there are five women who are not trusted. But the Braisa said, there's another Mishnah that says that there are seven women. Answers Gemara, that Braisa that says that there are seven women, not just five, Rabbi Yehuda he represents the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, the Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Maisef, Rabbi Yehuda added Af, Eshes Av, the wife of the father, Vakala, and the daughter-in-law are both so women that are not to be trusted to say this testimony. Amalai, so Chazal said to him that we, Chacham said to Rabbi Yehuda, we agree, but there's no need for them to be mentioned separately. Eshes Av, because when we speak about the Eshes Av, it's the same as Bas Habal. It's the same as the daughter of the husband. Just like the daughter of the husband does not like her father's wife, so too the father's wife can't say testimony. In other words, they're both for the same reason. Kala, and when it said Kala, Rebbe Chalal Chamoisa. So it's not anything new. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda, why did he mention Kala and Eshes Av separately? So he says, Bishlam Chamoisa Sanyal Kala. We understand that a mother-in-law doesn't like a daughter-in-law. For as we explained earlier, Damra Ka'achol Gesene, I was the one that worked together with my husband on making whatever estate we have. And now my son and his wife will take that all, and I'll be left with nothing. Why would a daughter-in-law hate the mother-in-law? So Bishlam Abbas Habal, when we speak about the husband's daughter, that we could understand, Sanyal Eshes Av doesn't like her father's husband. The Umrah, she says, Gosinel Ach Demeim, my father and mother were married for many years. They accomplished whatever they accomplished. Now this woman comes, my mother passed away or whatever, and this woman comes in my mother's place and will benefit from everything that my mother worked for. Elashis Av, but the father's mother, my Tamil Basabal, why would she hate why would she hate the Bas Habal? Why, there's no reason to hate that woman. Elamai Maisav Tarti. So why did he add people? Says the Gemara. El Kala, why does the daughter-in-law, my Tamas Sanyal Chamaisa, why does she hate her mother-in-law? The Megal Benar called the Avda. The mother-in-law tells her son everything she sees her daughter-in-law do that isn't proper. Eshes Av Nami Sanyal Basabal. And for the same reason, the father's wife hates the Bas Habal, the Megal Lavi called Avda. The daughter tells her father everything that this woman is doing. And all of this creates lack of shalom bayis. All of this creates acrimony and it causes hatred. The Rabbanan say that the Kala and the Eshes Av are included in the Mishnah. Why are they included in the case of the Mishnah? Why did they not have to be enumerated separately? Because they say, the Pasuk says, Kamayim aponim laponim, kein leva adam laadam. Just like when you look in the water, you're going to see a reflection. And whatever, the way you look into the water, that's how the reflection will show. If you're smiling, you'll see a happy face. If you're upset, you'll see an upset face. Kein leva adam laadam. So too, when two people are reacting to each other, the relationship is mutual. If I don't like this person, he won't like me as well. So once we learned in the Mishnah that a mother-in-law doesn't like a daughter-in-law, so Kamayim Aponim Aponim tells us that the daughter-in-law won't like the mother-in-law. So it doesn't have to mention that case because it's included in the case of the mother-in-law. And once the Mishnah says that Bas Bala is not Nemenis because the Bas Bala hates her father's wife, it goes by extension that the father's wife is going to hate the daughter of her husband. And that's why once Chamoisa was mentioned in the Mishnah, and once Bas Bala was mentioned in the Mishnah. These two other women are just the flip side of those relationships, and they did not have to be mentioned separately. Rabbi Yehuda. So the Chacham is saying a fantastic svara. Why they not have to be mentioned separately? Why does Rabbi Yehuda, based on the pasuk, why does Rabbi Yehuda bring a separate pasuk? Why does Rabbi Yehuda have to mention them separately? He says that pasuk is saying, is only talking about a different Torah. The pasuk is Torah that as much as effort you put into the Torah, that's how much effort the Torah will give back to you. That means if somebody spends time trying to understand what he's learning, somebody spends time working on what he's learning, reviewing on his learning, he will be successful in his learning. But if somebody doesn't want to give the Torah the proper attention that the Torah requires, then he won't have the success. I once saw a nice pshat that what does it mean, hakam b'divrei Torah? There are people that use the Torah to espouse wrong shittas, wrong opinions. And that's what the Gemara is saying is, how we learn Torah. Torah could be, people manipulate the Torah. And people who learn the Torah properly will have from the Torah proof and a derech how to live properly. And people who don't live that way will not be successful. The Baal Shem says, what's pshat in this Gemara? He says, the pasuk says, v'diba Hashem al Moshe panim al panim. So he says, the Baal Shem Tov, that a person who stands next to the water, so if he's standing farther away from the water, his shadow looks much larger. As he gets closer to the water, his shadow gets smaller. And as a person gets closer and closer to the water, so too does a shadow get closer. Says the Gemara, what the Gemara means, Hadubah Devri Torah, is somebody considers himself great. If somebody considers himself great, then he will not be able to succeed in learning. In order for him to be successful in his learning, he has to consider himself close to the Torah. A person who considers himself close to the Torah doesn't see himself as very big. And since he doesn't see himself very big, that's when he'll be successful in his learning. That's one pshat. Another pshat that I saw is that as a person thinks about the other person with whom he's learning, that the person who I'm learning with is a great person, then I will also grow in learning. But if I look at the person with whom I'm learning, with whom I'm studying, as a small person, then that person will also, that I will remain a small person. Amar Rav Acha bar Avya, Bob Marava, Chamois Abolam Achamekan. A woman that is not currently her mother-in-law, but can potentially be a mother-in-law. What does that mean? As we've learned throughout our Masechta, Yibum is dependent on a paternal relationship. So her husband had a brother, a paternal brother, who, her husband dies, her paternal brother will do Yibam, and his mother, who was not her mother-in-law until now, will become her mother-in-law. Where does the issue that we've been discussing about mother-in-law, daughter-in-law apply then? Mimaska data, the Miss Baal of Anafakam Yavim, do we say that this woman is already thinking that this woman may one day may be my daughter-in-law, and therefore she already dislikes her, and Sanyala? Oi, loi! At this point, she's not a mother-in-law, and she's not thinking about that. Toshma, so the Gemara wants to bring a raya from a Mishnah on the next daf Kuf Yud Ches. The Mishnah says, Omer Meis Baali, if a woman comes and says, my husband died, and then Akach Meis Chami, then my father-in-law died. The halacha is tinasi. She's allowed to get married. V'titel ksuba, and she's may get the ksuba. However, chamaisa asura. She can't say testimony at her mother-in-law because a woman is not trusted vis-a-vis her mother-in-law. My tama chamaisa asura. Why is she not believed regarding her mother-in-law? Mishum daminan loy balamayis loy chamiyamayis. Not her husband died, nor that her father-in-law died. V'had the kamra, hachi, why did she say it? L'kakul chamusu d'mechavna. What she really wanted to do is harm her mother-in-law. And what did she do? She was going to say that her father-in-law died. Based on her testimony, her mother-in-law would get remarried. And then her father-in-law will show up and she'll be in trouble. Several abasa shata, when my husband ultimately comes back, the son of my daughter-in-law, she won't be able to do me any more harm. So we see that people think about the future. So too in our Gemara, this woman who isn't currently her mother-in-law, but since she has the potential of being her mother-in-law, she shouldn't be believed. Says the Gemara, it's not a good comparison. Dilma Shani Hasan Deragish Latzara. She already felt the pain from this woman. And since she already felt the pain from this woman, that's why she has a dislike towards that woman. But that doesn't speak to our Gemara, where they didn't have that poor relationship yet, to the question that we discussed. Says the Gemara, Eidam Emes Venissus. Eid says that this woman's husband died, and based on that testimony, she got remarried. Now another aid comes and says that the husband did not die. Harez Latetse. Even though she got married based on the testimony of the first aid, she doesn't have to go away from her first husband, go away from that husband. Aid on the mace. But in a case where one aid said that her husband died, Vishnaim Amr Loy Mace, and then two aidim say that he did not die. Apish and Nissus, even though she got married based on the testimony of the first aid, Tetse. She has to leave the second husband. Because two aidim versus one aid, as we're going to see in the Gemara, completely negates the one aid. Shnayim amar meis. Two aidim say that he died. Veidam eloi meis. And then an aid comes and says that he did not die. And she has not yet gotten remarried. Abish leinissus, even though she hasn't gotten remarried, once two aidim said that the husband is dead, we accept the testimony of the two aidim, and tinasa she could get remarried. So we see in the first case, what happened? The one aide came and said that the husband died, and she got remarried based on that testimony. Now, even though another one aide comes and says that he's still alive, she doesn't have to leave the marriage. But it seems that our Mishnah is teaching us, Tamid Nissus, only because she got remarried before the second aide came. Hailai Nissus, but if she has not yet gotten remarried, and now the second aide comes and says that her husband is alive, Lai Tanasei. But ask the Gemara, why is that the halacha? V'ama Ula, hasn't Ula taught us? The Kamaka Shemina Torah Eid Echad, wherever the Torah says that we trust an Eid Echad, Harei Kan Shnayim. The Torah trusts him as if he was two Eidim, and they should therefore be allowed to, she should be allowed to get remarried, even though this other came. V'ain Dvarav Shalach V'makam Shnayim. Says the Gemara, Hachikama, that's indeed what the Mishnah says. Ha Eid Echad Am Emes. If one Eid says that the husband died, and based on that testimony, Vituruel and Natsay, they gave her a heter, they gave her permission to get remarried. And then, Uba Echad V'am Eloi Meis, and then another Eid Echad comes and says that he didn't die, even though she has not yet gotten remarried based on that testimony, the halacha is Leteitzim Eterishin. We leave the first heter. And the Ramban says that even if the aid Rishon, the first aid that came, was besides being an only one witness, he had another disqualification. It's an Eved or an Isha who are normally not accepted as Eidim. Once Chazal said that an Eid Echad is trusted, and an Eid Echad is trusted even if there are people who are normally individuals who are not trusted for Eidis, and we gave a heter based on that testimony, even though the second aid that comes and says that the husband's still alive is, albeit, an aid echad, but he's a kosher aid, the halacha is that the heter, the Gemara just said, like Tetzim Eteri Rishon, she retains that original heter, that will be even in such a case as well. The Rashba, however, says that if a woman came and said that my husband died, and based on her testimony, they allow her to get remarried, and then a night echad comes and says that her husband is alive. So the Rashba says that she could not stay with her new husband. A very bechiddush. That not only if she didn't get remarried, does the Rashba say she shouldn't get remarried? That even if she got remarried based on her testimony, which throughout this mesechta we're learning, we're accepting her testimony, if an eid echad, a kosher eid echad, comes to refute what she says, she has to leave the marriage. Why? So Ritva explains, because we can't compare something that's said by an echod versus something that's said by the woman herself. He says, something that's said by an echod, we just learned in the Gemara that Ula says, that wherever the Torah trusts Eid Echad, Harein Kan Shnayim. The Torah treats it as if there were two Edom that said it. And since the Torah considers it as if there were two Edom that said it, that's why we're comfortable in accepting that testimony. But says the Ritva, a woman, even though we trust the woman in testimony about her husband's death, she never gets to fall into the category of an aid. And since she never falls into the category of an aid, we can't accept. If somebody else refutes it, we have to accept their refutation. The Nemuke Yosef actually disagrees, and the Nemuke Yosef says that we don't see anywhere this kind of distinction. And if the halacha, as we just learned in the Gemara, is that Eid Echad said her husband is not alive, and based on that testimony, Beis Din allows her to get remarried, and that she doesn't lose that heter only on the cases that we discussed, two Edom refute it, that's the same if it's an Eid Echad that said it, or if she said it. So we learned in the Mishnah, if one Eid said that her husband died, and two Edom said that he didn't die, even though she got remarried, the halacha is she has to leave her new husband. Pshita, ask him, of course, there's no chiddush in this din, because we know the halacha is, ain't varav shel echad, the testimony of one is not valuable, but makom shnayim. Says the Gemara, Vaitzricha, our Mishnah is speaking about a case, the psuli edus, that the people who are refuting the Eid Echad are people who are really disqualified to say edus. When we Torah speaks about an Eid Echad, we follow Rav Deus. We follow the majority. Also, and therefore, also shtei nashim b'ish echad, two women against one man, kishnei nashim b'ish echad, and we go with the majority. V'beis ema, another explanation says, if the original testimony was offered by an Eid Echad who's kosher, a filumei nashim, even if now 100 women were to come and refute him, they're also only considered like one Eid. And the halacha would be she can remain with her husband. Ella, what happened in our Mishnah was, there was a woman that came and said that her husband died. And even though normally, of course, a woman is not accepted for testimony, here, as we've been discussing, she is accepted. And a Mishnah teaches us that if one woman said that her husband died, and now two women come and say that the husband is not dead, we follow the opinion, we follow what the two women say. The Katerzal of Namiah HaMechachi. And this is the way to explain what Rav Nechemya said. Rav Nechemya, wherever the Torah accepts one aid, just like two kosher Edom are believed over one kosher aid, if first there was a testimony by a kosher aid that the husband is dead, and then two women say that he's not dead, it's considered a situation of kalba palga, and she could stay with her husband. We learned in the Mishnah, Shnayim am remes, two say that he died, and one aid says that he did not die. Even if she hasn't gotten married, the halacha is she could get married based on the testimony of the two people. Says the Gemara, of course, if two Edom said that her husband died, so that's Shnei Edom. And throughout halacha, we know that halacha is a Pishnei Edom, Yakum Dover. So once we have two Edom, what's the question that she's certainly allowed to get remarried? Says the Gemara, what's going on here is B'sula Edis, that we're talking about people who are not kosher Edom. Says we follow the majority. So since two people say that he died and one said he didn't die, we follow the two. So ask the Gemara, that's what we explained is the explanation of the previous case of the Mishnah, that when we're dealing with people who are disqualified, majority rules. Manatema says the Gemara, in the previous case, two Edom, two disqualified Edom said, he didn't die, and one says he did die. So we follow the majority. But here, we're going to be following the majority and have a kula that two disqualified Edom say he didn't die, and one that he died, and one says that he didn't die. Maybe to achieve a kula, we won't rely on this. Kamash Malon, that when we're dealing, according to Nehemiah, with Edom who are apostle, what we always look at is the majority. And we follow the majority, whether the result of following that will be a kula or a chumrah.